Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin telling teams, don't waste your time. Don't even call. Not getting traded. He's not going anywhere. Season 19, locked and loaded. Mike Tomlin's going to be back, bro.
Why would anyone think any differently? Why would we think that, first of all, that anyone was going to give a first-round pick for Mike Tomlin? Maybe. But even though, like, Mike Tomlin is this... Steelers don't change coaches. I don't know why we talk ourselves into thinking Mike Tomlin's going somewhere every year.
Well, I think because Steeler fans, a lot of them are fed up because you haven't won a playoff game in nearly a decade.
Yes.
And what's going to change? Well, I know there's teams that would kill to just make the playoffs, but there's other teams where the standard is just a little bit higher.
You're not just happy
to be there. It's not a participation trophy.
That's all true, and that's a great point. And he coached a terrible, terrible game this weekend. But that doesn't change anything. Like, he's not going anywhere. The Steelers don't change coaches.
So let's hear from TJ Watt, because a lot of things have been said about the Steelers over the last 48 hours or so. So here's TJ Watt. This is after the game. So obviously, you know, guys are cleaning out their locker. Maybe it was Monday. Cleaning out your locker. He said, things need to change in Pittsburgh.
The city deserves it. His team deserves it. The guys in this locker room, we deserve it. Working hard. We just need to get it right. And I say that every year. I think it's more and more frustrating as the years go by. Tough conversations need to be had. Can't keep doing the same thing and expect different results.
Yeah, let's dive into that. What exactly are you talking about, Teach? Because, you know, is he talking about the offense? Because the defense is the most expensive defense in the NFL 3 years in a row. So I don't know if he's talking about the defense. I think he's talking about the offense.
I think you're right.
Yeah. So is he talking about the offensive line has to be better? Is he talking about they need a quarterback? Is he talking about wide receivers? He's probably talking about a little bit of all of it.
No, I think he's talking about the...
Do you think he's talking about coaching?
The offensive coaching is what I would be talking about. Like, who knows if the offensive line is good? Who knows if the players are good? They call the dumbest plays in the history of the planet.
Well, I mean, then, okay, that's offensive coordinator Arthur Smith. But by extension, we're assuming that Mike Tomlin gets to hire his coaches.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, Mike Tomlin stuck with Matt Canada when everybody, even casual 8-year-old NFL fans, knew that Matt Canada was not the man for the job. And Tomlin didn't wear that. And he went out and he hired another conservative offensive coordinator. So it's a matter of style and preference. Mike Tomlin now wants to win conservatively. For some reason, there was this brief time when he had Big Ben and Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell.
Right.
And they were great on offense. But he just seems more comfortable being a defensive coach. So to me, that's the problem. It's a philosophy problem.
Okay, so we're talking about the offensive philosophy. We're talking about the biggest question mark going into next season for the Steelers, which is who on God's green earth is going to play quarterback? Well, Russell Wilson is raising his hand.
That's the plan. I mean, obviously, I love it here and everything else. And I think we have a great football team. Obviously, it didn't go in the way we wanted it to. And I think there's a lot more to do. And, I said to you guys before, I always just got in the process and all that.
Be careful, though.
Spicy.
If I were, my suggestion to Russell Wilson would be, I hope you rented it and didn't buy. I know that he's got more money than we could ever hope for, but I don't know if he's going to be sticking around in Pittsburgh. Now, Justin Fields, on the other hand, Let's hear Mike Tomlin. So first off, saying the Steelers have to do a full evaluation of the quarterback situation.
Obviously, we don't have a quarterback under contract, and so we got some major discussions there. It was a really good experience with the three quarterbacks that were on our roster this year, individually and collectively. We certainly are open to considering those guys, but there's a lot of work ahead of us. And the major work, obviously, starts first and foremost with just understanding what our options are.
Right. Who's available? Tomlin said he and Omar Khan, they're going to spend half the day just figuring out who's on the board, potentially. But Tomlin is impressed with how Justin Fields approached the season.
I thought that the way that he managed his professional circumstance was really impressive. I thought he brought an urgency to his day-to-day work, regardless of his role. I thought he got continually better within our system of ball.
I think Justin Fields is going to be the quarterback next year because you spend that half a day, Pearl, and you start looking around at the quarterbacks. Well, I don't know if Sam Darnold did himself any favors in the last two games of the season. You and I argued about that all yesterday. But Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins, I don't see a lot of amazing, game-changing, life-changing, franchise-altering options.
What if I spiced up the Aaron Rodgers a little bit and gave you Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers as a combo?
What are they, a package deal now?
I think so. Because the Jets don't keep Rodgers. Isn't the report that they won't keep Adams as well? Adams is getting older and expensive. So Adams is floating out there. Maybe you could get both of them to come and fix sort of your wide receiver problem simultaneously.
Well, that makes it a little spicier. Maybe, I guess. Do you think Devontae Adams, though, doesn't he still want to get paid? Aaron Rodgers, I think, is operating maybe in a different, like, oh, I'll take a little bit less.
Well, the Steelers don't have a quarterback, so they have to have money.
Yeah, I mean, they spend a lot of money on the defense. There should be money for the offense. The salary cap's going up. But I know what you think about wide receivers over the age of 30. You basically think they should be taken behind the woodshed.
But he was pretty great at the end of the last year. There are a few exceptions. And they just need a possession receiver. They have the deep threat in George Pickens. Now, I don't know if they'll keep him. I'm not sure what's going to happen with him. That seems like a mess. But honestly, like, you're right. Like, beggars can't be choosers. Do I want Aaron Rodgers to be my quarterback at 41 in Pittsburgh? No, but he's better than Justin Fields. And Sam Darnold is better than Justin Fields, too. You don't think they would take Sam Darnold over Fields?
Well, I saw a smart person say this yesterday. It was former GM Mark Domenech, who said that he's got a podcast. He said, if you're going to get Sam Darnold, you got to bring that whole offense. Like, it worked with Kevin O'Connell. So that offense, you can't just have Arthur Smith there running Sam Darnold like that. You have to have that same exact Minnesota offense. And you're not going to have Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison, but you have to run the exact same thing because clearly that's the best thing for Sam Darnold.
That makes sense. Yeah. By the way, the Steelers have a lot of cap space next year, so they're in play. Then bring in somebody from the Shanahan tree. Like, just get it going. Like, stop all this nonsense with Arthur Smith, who seems like a smart guy. Don't get me wrong. But if you're down 21 points and running on first and second down, and everyone on earth knows you have no prayer of those plays working, it's driving me crazy. I had the over on that game.
855-212-4227. That's really a you problem now, isn't it?
No, it was a Arthur Smith problem. Russell Wilson could have thrown for 500 yards against the Ravens. I'm like, finally dropped back and just like boom, 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 boom. You know, Russell Wilson had 123 rating in that game. Like, he was great. He had never had a chance. Because one, Mike Tomlin ignored the fact that Lamar Jackson was running on every play. It's like someone gives smelling salts to Mike Tomlin. Like, the Ravens aren't even disguising their offense right now. They're just running it down your throat, and you still are not adjusting.
See, that's the most demoralizing part of it. And that's the part that Mike Tomlin, I think, two things that he really had to answer for. Listen, you lose to a better team, okay. Two things you got to answer for. Why did it feel like the Ravens were running the same play over and over again, and I don't know what adjustments were made to try to stop it. Maybe there were none. And then the second thing is, why did guys look disinterested at times on the defense? Now, maybe we found that out because apparently the flu was going around. So maybe guys were just so sick as dogs, they couldn't.
Possible.
They couldn't give their best. Because I don't generally associate the Pittsburgh Steelers with teams that quit. In fact, the opposite.
But, no, right. It doesn't feel like a Steelers problem, but it was. I mean, the video evidence was very clear. Like, you could just see the safeties sort of lollygagging around the field.
Yeah.
Not even like, not just put a helmet on someone.
I'm going to be honest. I'm with TJ Watt on this one. You know, what's really going to change here? You've had opportunities, Pearl. If you mentioned, well, you're not paying a quarterback, so that means you've got all this money in free agency that you should be able to play around with. Well, that's been the case for years now. Years. They haven't been paying a quarterback for a long time. And so why now with a potential, and it's not going to be as cheap as their quarterback room from this year. There's no shot. That was the cheapest it can possibly get. You paid like $1 million for Russell Wilson, and I think $1 million for Justin Fields. Like, it was nothing. And I haven't seen them really go crazy in free agency. And maybe that's discipline. Maybe you don't overpay for Brandon Ayuk. Maybe you don't, or you would have had to trade for Ayuk, but maybe you don't overpay for guys. But why would I expect anything to be different? See, that's the whole thing about the Steelers. They're stuck. And they keep doing the same things. Like, we don't expect other teams to change their stripes, right? We don't expect all of a sudden Jerry Jones to stop meddling. We don't expect, you know, the Bears all of a sudden to be, you know, produce this amazing quarterback. Like, sometimes you just, you're kind of like hoping a prayer. Where's the evidence that things are going to change in Pittsburgh?
Is that a serious question? There is more evidence that of all 32 teams, less is going to change in Pittsburgh than anywhere.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so
that's what I said. I said this is a waste of time to even think about Tomlin leaving. No. There's no Tomlin leaving.
I know,
he is there forever.
But you're saying, oh, Aaron Rodgers, I'll give you Devontae Adams, and they've got all this cap space. They've had all these things. Rodgers and Adams. They've had cap space. They've had all this opportunity. They've had a cheap quarterback. They haven't done jack.
Well, I know. I just think that they need a quarterback next year. Maybe of those options you gave me, I might look at the Rodgers Adams combo. Honestly,
to be fair, they brought in Patrick Queen.
I'm very interested in Rodgers to Pittsburgh, just personally as a fan. I don't love that they be quite conservative on offense, but that group, I like that the most, because you'd have to commit to Darnold for a while. That's not good. So I do think to talk about Tomlin leaving, he's right. Don't waste your breath. Like, Tomlin is the Steelers coach for life if he wants it.
It's like the Supreme Court over there. Mike is in Youngstown, Ohio. Kind of likes what Perloff is putting down here. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you doing? I kind of do. So as a lifelong Steelers fan, I'm as frustrated as everybody with the lack of change. I think Rodgers is a good option for us for next season. Number one, we need somebody that could teach George Pickens how to be an NFL player. He has so much talent. I don't want to just throw it away. And I think Devontae Adams might be able to help him. Also with Rodgers, I think it's a guy that Tomlin will trust and respect enough to open up the offense. Like Perloff made a point earlier about, for a little bit there, we had an open offense with Big Ben and with the Antonio Brown and the Killer Bees. That's because Tomlin trusted Benny, trusted Antonio Brown. And frankly, the Ryan Shazier injury cost our defense during those years, or I think Tomlin has a second ring. I would also take a mid-round flyer quarterback this year to sit behind Rodgers. Maybe you get lucky, like the Eagles did with Jalen Hurts. Maybe you get lucky, like the Seahawks did back in the day with Russ. If not, and we bought him out, who cares? Let's take somebody early next year. Because, frankly, drafting at 21, we don't have a chance to really get a first-round guy this year.
So you're like thinking also maybe a Jalen Milroe or someone like that maybe falls in the second or third round.
Yeah, maybe like a Quinn Ewers if he comes out, Kyle McCord, like just somebody take a shot. And if it doesn't work, fine, they're a backup. And then we could take a first-round pick in another year or two. This is only really the second year we've had cap space. I know the defense is expensive. It got old. But I think if Tomlin had a quarterback he respected and trusted, it would allow us to open up the offense a tad.
Yeah. You know,
I don't think he trusts Justin Fields, and I don't.
No, he
doesn't.
Last
year this time, he told us the starter was on the roster already, and we see what happened to Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph. You know what I mean?
You know, Mike, you're right about the Fields thing.
His end of the season press conference.
You know, Mike, thank you. Good points all around, and you're right about the Fields thing. I just thought maybe second year in the offense, maybe you do get a little bit more trust if you're going to keep Arthur Smith, but the Steelers were 4-2, and they put Fields on the bench. And we barely heard from him.
Yeah, right. That's a great point. So it doesn't feel like they're strongly committed to Justin Fields. And he came in, in his little packages, he never looked great. I mean, I don't blame him. I mean, it's not Fields' fault, but Yeah, I don't know what the future holds for this team. It feels like they're going to be 10-7 for the rest of my life.
Can I, you know, you bring up a point about putting Rodgers and Davante Adams, kind of bringing them both to Pittsburgh, right? Solves a couple problems for you. Does it feel a little like, all right, you got the band back together in New York.
Yeah, but that's the Jets. They're so dysfunctional.
So now we're getting the band back together for the third time.
That's no problem. I mean, because the Jets don't count. Like, they're such a non-franchise that it feels like the second time. No offense, but I mean, obviously, like
offense taken.
I mean, EJ, come on. That's nobody's going to even count. Like, at the end of the day, like, when Rodgers, they look at his legacy, they're going to say, oh, well, that was the Jets.
Backing up the fellas.
Look at
he says this has been the most meaningful time in his life.
I actually did a statistical thing on the former Jets quarterback. You, the year after you leave the Jets, you go up 20 points in passer rating automatically. It's like science. Geno Smith, Sam Darnold, Brett Favre, and then Rodgers next year. Watch, he actually had a high rating this year, but he's going to go up another 20 points. He was at like 91. He'll go way higher next year.
I don't think you really scientifically did that.
No, I did. I have it in one of my Athlon stories. I look at all the passer ratings between the Jets year.
Well, Geno sat for 5 years
after
that.
Geno and Darnold were like babies, too. So, like, that's, like, kind of unfair.
It's not unfair.
How about Ryan Fitzpatrick?
That's pure science.
Well, Geno was a rookie or whatever. He was a young player. Sam Darnold was a young player.
Well, I took the highest passer rate. Yeah, but, I mean, come on. Like, obviously, you put a Jets filter on any player. Like, Sam Darnold, I tell you, his 19 touchdowns and 13 picks in his second year of the Jets, that is, like, that's one of the great seasons of all time. To do that as a Jets quarterback, that's like Brady throwing 50 touchdowns with Randy Moss. That was incredible.
Let's go to Dan. He's in Northern California. He wants to talk about the other big news story of the day, which is a possible marriage between Jerry Jones and Deion Sanders. What's up, Dan?
Hey, how are you guys doing? It was worth hanging on. Actually called Amy in the previous segment to talk about Tomlin. That was like a 2.5-hour conversation she had with everybody.
Amy's
they're not giving up on him.
No.
I don't know about Rodgers, though. I think he's over the hill. But anyway.
What about Deion? Can it work in Dallas?
We've gone up against the Cowboys and, you know, John Brody versus all back way back in the early 70s, so many championship games, NFC championship games. So I've always had my eye on them. I was thinking they needed Davante Adams to go with CeeDee Lamb to help him out, you know.
Dan, you're right about that. Here's the funny thing about that, and thank you so much for the call, and shout out Amy and the overnights. I think that let's talk about Deion's like attractiveness in terms of the idea about free agents like wanting to play for him, right? Like that's a very college thing. The NFL, I never really felt like that was real. It's more like player to player as opposed to player to coach. But then again, people did want to play for Tomlin. So
quarterback might draw somebody. Like you might want to play with a certain quarterback.
Exactly, but head coach.
Let's see. I mean, like, the good head coaches are usually aren't free agency teams, right? Because if you're a free agency team, that things are already off the track. Generally, great teams don't use free agency, right?
Well, do people want to flock to play for Andy Reid?
Nah. They're a draft and build team. No, you're right. It doesn't really work like college. I don't know that you can do the transfer portal thing.
We've gotten two calls about that now. So now I was like, all right, maybe we should address that because the idea that you can expend draft capital to try to get Shador or whatever pie in the sky thing for the Cowboys because free agents are now going to just want to come there. I feel like that's more of a college thing than a pro thing.
Well, one thing, eventually when Shador and Travis get the free agency, if DeAndre coaches in 5 years, if you could put Deion on some kind of hold where like you're coming with me in 2028 when those guys hit the market, then we got some there. But you're right, it's hard. And also the Cowboys don't do free agency at all. Like, so what if all of a sudden they're going to start jumping into free agency? So no, that doesn't seem like a real plan. It's a really good point because I was kind of, when the caller said that, I'm like, oh yeah, people want to come play for Deion, but it doesn't work like that.
Not on the pro level. I don't know. 855-212-4227. Yeah. Teaming up with old teammates, quarterbacks. We just talked about Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers, but I don't know about coaches.
By the way, can I more the Jets filter? Zach Wilson's highest Jets passer rating was 77.2. Guarantee he will do the 20. guarantee he will have a 97.2 rating. He's going, and he had a 100 rating in preseason.
Well, he's never going to start again, is he?
Definitely going to start again.
You think so?
I think you guys are underestimating what a Jets player does to a quarterback. I'm just listening to Sean Payton. Sean Payton's like, this is a starter in the NFL. The Jets ruin everybody. And that's not even a hot take. That is the most obvious fact in the history of the NFL.
Well, I was trying to think about this when it comes to, because now we're in the head coaching carousel, and you're welcome to call in about Deion to the Cowboys, 855-212-4227. You're welcome to call in about Mike Tomlin's future with the Steelers or what the Steelers do to get themselves out of this particular rut. But I was thinking about the coaching carousel part of this, and what coach has ever left the Jets in better shape? What coach has left the Bears in better shape? What coach, like, there's teams where it's like your stock just kind of plummets.
You mean, oh, so not like the team was in better shape. You mean the coach himself, like, it's a career killer.
Exactly. Like, right. I was thinking about that with somebody
killed,
like,
Rex, killed Gase, killed everybody.
The Raiders? Are people walking out of the Raiders just like, all right, well, you know, that didn't go as well as we hoped, but I'm still a viable candidate other places. I guess John Gruden, one scandal and 10 years later or whatever. I some of these places, I feel like you don't leave, you never leave better off. Like,
I mean, Gruden left the Raiders the first time better off. That was when Al Davis was still alive.
Sure.
But, yeah, no,
like,
you're
Mike
right.
Mike McCarthy might get hired again. And this, like, by all accounts, didn't go great in Dallas. He didn't do what he set out to do. He didn't get them back to the Super Bowl. He didn't win. I think he's still a viable candidate.
He won a little more than you're going to win with the Raiders, though.
Sure. Yeah. You go to the Jets, you go to, like, are you, you're just not leaving. Like, it's probably going to be embarrassing. Maybe not even because of you.
Well, I mean,
we get one expose a year about the Jets.
But
you said you can set a watch to it, you know, the season
also
ends and you find out that Woody Johnson's kids are running the team through Madden.
That's because they're also in part because they're covered by a lot of people. You know, there are a lot of reporters in New York. But the thing about it, if you lose, I don't think it's necessarily just Jets. If you lose, if you're on a team, a franchise that loses and loses, aren't the Jets the losingest franchise the last 10 years?
No, the Giants also.
The Giants and the Jets are 1-2. Like, bad stuff is going to happen. By the way, Pete Carroll left the Jets and got a big job.
But went to college.
Yeah, I know. It's not easy. Yeah, it takes a lot of work. Who was the Jets coach last year? I can't even remember.
Robert Saleh.
Oh, right. Saleh. Saleh actually
got some buzz for the Jaguar job.
He seems like, but I think he's going to get like a high-end defensive coordinator. It feels like he'll be back. Do you guys get the sense he'll be a head coach again? Because I totally do. The fact that he got interviews for head coaching now, after that year, amazing.
What helped him is that the defense got worse after he left.
Yeah, great point. Yeah. Also, I think people love Robert Saleh. I think he's very popular in the league.
855,
EJ. I was just going to say real quick, there are a lot of guys with the Jets and some of these other organizations where you may get another job, but it's always going to be a worse job. It's kind of like the NHL head coaches. So, like, Eric Mangini, okay, you'll coach again with the Browns. Rex Ryan, oh, you'll coach again with the Bills before Josh Allen got there.
Yeah.
Like, these guys, Robert Saleh, okay, you can coach again, but you got to take the Jaguars. Like, you're just shuffling through these bad owners.
Right, right.
You know, so
you're not leveling up.
No, there
you're
is no
sideways.
Level up. Exactly.
Right. 855.
Goals in the dark.
212-4227. It's a good point. Okay, lots more to do, including, I didn't love what I heard yesterday from the Packers. Tell you why next. It's Maggie and Perloff.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Can I just say one thing before we get to Bogus's update? We do a lot of dumb things on the show in a really good way. I think our great debate that is coming up next hour might be the dumbest great debate we ever have, and I absolutely love it, and I cannot wait.
Define dumbest.
Dumb in, like, a really good way. Like, you know, all sports arguments are somewhat irrelevant in the big picture. This might be the most irrelevant, and I've enjoyed it. I've done about 2 hours of research on it. I'm not going to say what it is, but it is dumb in the best way a sports debate can be.
I still don't even know your pick. I don't know Bogus's pick. I know EJ's. Manny, I don't know your pick. I'm in the dark on all of your candidates here. We're not going to give it away yet.
What I like about it is that it is very subjective, maybe more so than other ones, because I think whatever your answer might be, it's because people in the host city, so to speak,
right,
will have a different answer than like mine because that's a personal answer.
See, I think we're going to, well, I don't want to give too much away. We do our great debate at the top of the hour every Wednesday, 8 o'clock Eastern time. I don't want to give too much away, but I think that, I think it's not that regional. I think there are some fan bases that want to forget all this stuff.
Well, but see, I know what Manny's answer is. And in my head, technically, it's not a good answer because it doesn't, I don't think
doesn't
this
fit
person
the criteria.
Applies because I fill in the blank.
Okay. We just confused the heck out of everybody. Top of the hour.
Myself included.
Great debate. Perloff believes is the dumbest and also the one you are most waiting
yes,
to
yes, I think that it's definitely, it's going to go in our Marconi reel for outstanding excellence in radio field. It's going to be brilliant.
Yeah, it's funny. When I go to all these like radio things and, you know, I was honored enough to get an award earlier this year. They never bring up like the chili and the tuna jello. They never bring up our sillier things.
You know, when you judge some Emmy reels, right?
I do
you ever see a topic like this come up on the Emmy reel?
No, and I wish it would.
It's always like a heartfelt, like a,
yeah,
and that's when I realized my dad didn't love me.
Yeah.
Not this topic.
it's a lot of, like, sad news out of, you know, a lot of Emmy rolls start with sad news out of so-and-so. You guys want to bring up all the times the Bills failed? Yeah, I'm going to think about alcohol. That one didn't make the reel. I could do an hour on Emmy voting. Once you see how the sausage is made, they need a new system.
You're an Emmy voter?
I have been. I actually stopped because it's so beyond time consuming. There are 17 people were nominated for the category that I voted on, which was Best Studio Host for Sports. 17 people. Mm. Everyone's reel is 10 minutes long, and you have to watch the whole thing before you put in, before you can submit your vote.
So
it's a rating scale.
Logistically, can't even click a button until you get through the video?
Until you get through 10 minutes of 17 people. They tell you on the outskirts, like, you can't wait till the night before. You're never going to make it.
So you have to, I hope at least SVP put in bad beats or something fun. By the way, like, it was...
No, the two people, the three people I gave the highest marks to, all three did not win.
Joe Flacco?
Yeah. was anyone here nominated five times for a Sports Emmy for Best Studio Show? Oh, yeah, I was. Manny, you probably didn't even know that, did you?
Quit asking questions.
Wow.
Can you bring up the five? I mean, it is an honor just to be nominated. I'll
oh
give
God.
You that. But
that's all I
five
got.
Five L's.
Wait, did you win? Yeah, you're like, you sound like the
what?
Bills.
Get out of here.
You sound like the Bills. What are we, taking out the whole studio today?
Look, they were a circling firing squad. We're like Michael Scott and
Andre Reed made the Hall of Fame, EJ. Did he? I think he did. Andre Reed made the Hall of Fame, didn't he?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll take be the Buffalo Bills in this industry. That's not bad. That's not bad. I mean, it's fun to make fun of Maggie because they never win, but
yeah,
still.
Thanks.
Five nominations, that you can't give me a hard time for that. We were shocked every time we got a nomination.
DP show's an all-time show.
Yeah, but we were up against SportsCenter, which had a cast of like 17,000. We were like 11 dudes in a basement in Connecticut.
Pulled it off, though.
Yeah, and Dan has obviously a shelf full of Emmys, so for him it was just gravy on top, but... Yeah, no, I will never vote for that because that sounds like an HR, what you have to watch those HR videos.
Oh, God, at least those like are, yeah, I don't know. It's just I couldn't do it again. It was way too time consuming. It felt like a part-time job.
I like those HR videos because it's about like workplace harassment, and I like to not watch them and then take the quiz at the end and see how well I can do.
you guys think losing five times is rough or not rough? I lost when there was a three candidate answer and was a co-winner. So there was three documentaries. Two were announced as co-winners.
And you lost?
And I lost. So you want to talk about that? Like, that's a rough loss.
Boom, 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 boom.
That's amazing. Hey, by the way, speaking of those HR videos that you have to watch, everyone has to watch these about, like, sexual harassment and inclusion and stuff like that. Do you know that NFL teams have to watch one of these before they start their head coaching hiring?
Oh, on the process of head. Yeah.
So every person who's in the room, I read about this yesterday, every person who's in the room who's potentially involved in hiring a new head coach has to watch one of those hour-long videos that kind of always starts like a porn, but then never, it's like, hey,
it
Sally.
Never gets there.
Never gets there. Ultimately ends with, you know, Jackie coming in and ruining everything, the whole mood. But they like Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones, they all got to sit down and watch this thing.
Guys got a set on them.
You think Jerry's watching that?
Yeah, it's a good point.
Can you pay somebody to watch that for you?
Jerry would probably watch the normal HR videos. He'd be like, what do you mean, Diana said? I mean, Bill asked her out four times after she said no. What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
You know what? Left.
Fifth time's a charm.
Yeah. I always watch one recently.
Just offer to pay her kids college.
There was a scenario, I'm sorry for dwelling on this, where the guy actually is like, hey, Diana, I see you got a new number. I found it through the computer system. Like, dude, take a hint. This isn't funny, but it was like, it was so, it's the most ridiculous scenario. She's like, no, I don't want to go out with you. And if you talk to me again, I'm going to HR. What about Friday?
He always can't get the hint.
They don't get the hint.
Jerry will watch these videos and think it's a real movie.
Yeah.
He would go, he would go to Steven like, hey, Steven, you know, I watched this crazy movie with this guy. He just kept asking this girl out. And then all of a sudden the work people said he was at fault. I couldn't believe it.
What are we going to do about these strippers?
That's the question at the end of the film. What do you do about these strippers,
boy.
Jerry?
Yeah.
Response A, invite them to the work party. All right, Bogish, save us.
Guys, noted college basketball expert Andrew Perloff thinks the sport has a problem because the SEC, the football powerhouse, is the best conference in hoops right now. And I guess they proved that again last night.
Grill throws it open in the front court. Pierce, folks, Missouri's done it. The Tigers have come to Gainesville and knocked off the fifth-ranked Gators as Missouri picks up its first road win against the top five since 2012. Mizzou announces its arrival to the SEC with a win over number five Florida, 83-82.
That's from Learfield. Unranked Mizzou ending the Gators' 16-game home winning streak. We also had number four Alabama losing at home to number 21 Ole Miss, 74-64.
Nobody wants this. SEC is supposed to be good at football. Now they're not even good at football because of NIL, and now they're good at basketball. What's going on here? It's like cats and dogs living together. This doesn't make sense. ACC is good at basketball. SEC is good at football. This is the way it's always been. I am not ready for change here. Boom, 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 boom.
What about the Pac-12?
What about it?
Yeah.
Water polo.
Out of that ACC, by the way, third-ranked Duke handled Miami 89-54 behind a career-high 25 from Con Knipple. Cooper Flagg throwing in 13.7 rebounds and 6 assists. In the pros, Jamal Murray scored 45 in the Nuggets' 118-93 win in Dallas. Trae Young had 43 as the Hawks down the Suns 122-117. Donovan Mitchell put up 35 as the Cavs won in Indy 127-117. And Keon Johnson, who definitely fits in this group, scored 20 for the Nets in Portland.
Russell moves it right. Keon Johnson a three. It's good for Keon. Timeout, Chauncey Billups. Net lead is 15.
Chris Carino on Nets Radio. Brooklyn throwing him off the scent of the tank, snapping a five-game skid, 132-114 in Portland. The Houston Texans waived wideout Deontay Johnson yesterday instead of getting him ready to play the Chiefs on Saturday. That's four teams to move on from Johnson this season. Apparently, he's an obnoxious Knicks fan. The Steelers traded him to the Panthers, who dealt him to the Ravens, who released him, allowing Houston to pick him up and now say goodbye. The Browns are, thank you for the laugh, the Browns are promoting tight ends coach Tommy Rees to offensive coordinator, a position he has held at Alabama and Notre Dame already. Rees replaces Ken Dorsey, who was fired after one season. Novak Djokovic, Carlos Alcaraz, Coco Gauff, and Jessica Pegula among the winners on day four of the Aussie Open. And from the NHL, the Flyers could not cool off the Blue Jackets. The Columbus win streak is now five after a 3-2 shootout win. Guys, back to you.
I couldn't give you a courtesy laugh, Bogish, because I was deep in research. I'll give you one guess about Con Knipple's siblings. What letters do you think they all start with?
I just saw this the other day. W.
This is something that's become, I think, kind of predictable. For some reason, people with K's like to repeat them. It's like the Kardashians all were K's. Con Knipple's brother, Kingston Cash with a K, and Kid. Kid Knipple.
Kid. Like he's Kingston, a Wild Wild West star.
And Cash with a K.
That's up there with Brick.
Yeah, kind of sounds like it. Old money.
I don't know where the video is from, but I saw this like 2 days ago just to meet all of them. And the two older ones, boys 2 and 3, are on the same varsity team in Wisconsin or Minnesota. And then the younger brother is the star of the junior high school team. Kid.
Kid. I'm sorry. There's Kager, too. I missed one. Khan, Kager, Kingston, Cash, and Kid.
I don't think Kid can be a name of a kid.
Why? People name their kid Guy.
Yeah, it doesn't fly. It's like the Devils having a jersey that says Jersey.
Well, but they're trying to do a clever play on words there.
I don't think they were being clever.
New Jersey.
I don't think they realized what they were doing when they did it.
Wait, what? Explain this to me like I'm an idiot.
The Devils' alternate jersey just says Jersey on it, which obviously people say I'm from Jersey, but it just looks funny that it just says Jersey.
It's like, Jersey on a jersey?
Yeah.
That's like having a shirt that says shirt.
Yeah.
They also have a hat that says hat on it with that same lettering.
I disagree with that. I think New Jersey could get away with having a jersey that says Jersey. That's different than just being shirt. Like, there's no state name New Shirt. I'm going to give
now
him a
there
pass.
Is. Or Old Shirt, for that matter.
Yeah. Would you wear a hat that just says hat?
It's logical, I guess.
You guys aren't bothered at all when people name their kids and it's all the same letter?
Yes, very much so. And this is probably named by a person named James and Nicole as well, who don't have K's in her name.
I would think so. Oh, no, Khan's the second, so I'm assuming Dad is Khan.
Yeah.
You're not going to believe this, but this random take you have right now plays very much into my great debate answer. I know.
Wait.
Wow.
It really does.
People having the same first name? Like the same letters?
Mine is even worse.
Like alliteration?
It's even worse than alliteration.
Alliteration's the best.
It's actually the same first name and last name.
Well, he picked
Bol-Bol?
He picked Jack from The Incredibles.
It's exactly like Bol-Bol. That is all I will say.
Our great debate comes your way in 20 minutes. Top of the hour. I don't want to sound disrespectful because people can name their kid whatever. It's hard to name a kid. You're naming something. You know, it's stressful to name your children. We've all been through this.
Megatron.
Thought about it. Went with Lucas.
It remains stunning that Manny is single.
It's like, I'll get married and have kids, but under one stipulation. Like, what?
Brunson.
We need to name him Megatron. But
Brunson,
I think it's kind of tough when you name all the kids off with one letter. What do you think, bro? Am I being outrageous here?
You're being wildly outrageous. No, I think it's a strange lady has a take on local news right now.
Oh, I'm waving my hand at fist of
God. Yeah, it feels like a Simpsons take. Local man. Yeah, like, does this really bother you?
It doesn't bother me. I guess it doesn't bother me. Everyone do you. I don't get it. I don't get the urge.
I think I'm with you on this one. I particularly am bothered by Cash making it start with a K when it doesn't normally.
Right.
And I just don't, like, where's
shoehorning it.
Where's Kevin? Like, why we go Kid Knipple? Like, that's, again, he's like
cool
a Wild
name,
West
though.
Star. Yeah, I guess, maybe.
Stands out.
Can I offer you the family in my neighborhood growing up? And this was the story that the dad was so enamored with the mom, whose name was Tanya. They had three daughters, Tanya, Tanya, and Tanyelle, to make them all be like
George Foreman style.
Kind of.
And that was a tribute to the mom?
Yeah.
What'd the mom think about it?
I am assuming she was okay with it since they kept doing it.
Yeah. The kids can't love that.
Tanya and Tanya are just so, they're probably spelled similarly.
When it's just switching one letter.
When you do stuff like this, you cause damage to kids potentially.
Agreed.
You think
like
so?
I'm very good friends with someone who is named the same name as his brother, and as soon as he turned 18, he changed his name.
Get out of here.
Yep.
They named the siblings the same name?
Yes.
So just like
Yeah, I think maybe different middle names, but same first and last name.
And they're not twins, obviously.
They're not
that,
twins.
That would be
no, they're not twins.
Very bad.
I mean, crazy enough, though, they're only like a year apart.
Can I ask what the name is?
Martin.
Both kids named Martin? Was it named after a family member?
Yeah, their dad.
My dad named my brother and my half-brother after himself. So I have two brothers named Carlos and a father named Carlos.
And that is amazing.
All with a C, any with a K, like
nope,
Carlos who works here?
Nope, C.
Here we go.
We got Cs.
This is great.
Yes, I have a half-brother who lives in El Salvador. His name is Carlos. And then like 40 years later, my full brother was born. And my dad, named Carlos, decided to name him Carlos.
I'm doing
Can't
it again.
Can't be Junior, though.
We call my full brother Carlos Junior once in a while. But, I mean, it's Latin America. We ran out of names.
These are also Latin Americans afford them. On my side, my friends. Puerto Ricans.
The Martins?
Yep.
And I know sisters who are both named Maria, but by because they go by their middle name, and that was always the plan. Like, they're not Maria and Maria.
Got it.
That was a way, like, that's a familial cultural thing.
Right.
They were not meant to be Maria.
And they were in high school, too. And, like, I met my best friend. His name was Martin, and then his brother came in the next year. And, like, his name is Martin. And I'm like, what is going on? I thought it was a joke. I was like, no, you're like, what's your name? And, like, his name is Martin.
What did he change it to?
He changed it to his middle name. So now he's Billy. Got it. Okay. He's William, so Billy.
855-212-4227. There we go. People's choices. All right. Lots more to do, including, oh, I mentioned this before. Didn't love what I heard from the Packers yesterday. Bad enough you lose to the Philadelphia Eagles, losing bodies left and right in that game, but I didn't love the messaging from Matt LaFleur. Tell you why next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
M&P. Man, Bad Bunny is everywhere. New album's out.
I saw him playing the subway on the Today Show.
Yeah, Jimmy Fallon. 855-212-4227. We got a sidetracked. I want to talk about the Packers. We got a little sidetracked, though, with Con Knippel, who plays basketball for Duke. And it's K-O-N is how you spell his name. And his siblings are Cager, Kingston, Cash, and Kid. All K's. Dean in Maryland's calling in because he's a teacher and sees interesting names like that. Hey, Dean, how are you?
Hey, Maggie, I'm doing great. For 31 years, me and the guy that I work with, we teach phys ed. We cannot stand the first week. Obviously, the kids come into a gym. They don't have seats and desks, so we put them in squads. And over the years, as time has went on, the names are just ridiculous. I think that these people are, you know, around the kitchen table or in the hospital room trying to come up with names that are just crazy off the wall. And I feel bad for the kids, especially the kindergartner and first graders, that they don't even know their name and can't even spell their name. The craziest name that I've seen was a girl named T9C, and they spelled her name with a T, the number 9, and then a C. So her name was T9C.
You're allowed to do that with a number and a name?
Well, that was her name.
Yeah, like legally?
Some like other Prince? Ones.
It's a symbol.
I mean, so that's the wildest one I've ever seen. But we also had a family that's been in our community for a long time that, you know, you said enamored with Tanya. Well, this family, I just this year, she's a third grader, have seven, and they have seven kids. So they named them 1, 2, 3, and so forth and so on.
No.
So we've had we've had that family 1 through 7. We have 7, who's a third grader this year. And then another wild name was a kid. His last name was Enzo, E-N-Z-O. Guess what his first name was?
Enzo.
Get in, and his middle name was Duh. Get in, Duh, Enzo.
No.
I can't make this up.
No.
I cannot make this up. Yes. His name was Get In. And his middle name was Duh, and it was Enzo. And again, I can't make this stuff up. And then, you know, the kids look at it. The kids are sitting there, and there's 3 kids left, and we've already said their name, but they don't know their name because the name is so whacked that we're pronouncing it wrong. And then we call them up and say, is this you? You know, this is day 1 or day 2. Well, yeah, but you said it wrong. It's this. And I'm like, well, okay, well, tell your parents to spell it the right way.
That's not going to go wrong. Dean, that's wild. Thank you for sharing that. I can't imagine someone named their kids after the number in which they were born. So you got a kid walking around named 3?
That reminds me, I was just talking to Perloff about this. The Thompson twins, Asar and Amen,
yeah.
Their middle name is Excellence, but it's spelled X-L-N-C. Just like all in cap letters, X-L-N-C, Excellence.
Hmm.
Amen, Osar, Excellence, Thompson.
That's a little bit like the St. Browns, right? Equanimeous, Amon-Ra, and the other one, they're all named after Greek gods.
Yeah.
That's pretty
but
sick.
This is 1 through 7. Like, there was a very famous Seinfeld episode. Yeah, they want to name their kids 7 after Mickey Mantle. But, like, 4? 5? What? These are names. Someone TNT, someone was named T the number 9C. And then get in the Enzo. But why though?
We got to call CPS on some of these people.
The first name was Get In.
The only winners here are the therapists that will be raking in the dough.
The real heroes. My parents named me 2.
Yep.
Two's
the one that's the worst, right? How many jokes are you going to have with people say, hey, number 2. Did you go number 2? Looking like number 2 out there on the field.
CPS again.
The damage. Oh, my goodness.
Hair looks like number 2 today.
Stop reproducing, people.
Great debate comes your way next.